You are Locked On Sooners, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma Sooners. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Sooners Nation. Welcome to the Monday edition of the Locked On Sooners podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. For the best tasting protein bar on the market, go to BuiltBar.com. Make sure to use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Thank you for joining me. My name is John Williams. You can follow me on Twitter at John9Williams, and you can read my work covering the Dallas Cowboys over at InsideTheStar.com. You can also follow the show at Locked On Sooners, and you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Today, we're going to talk about what went on over the weekend with the NFL draft. There were several Sooners that were selected. We'll talk about where they were selected, where they're headed. In the second segment, we'll talk a little bit about their fits. And then in the third segment, we'll talk a little bit about what it means for the Big 12, because over the last few years, the Big 12 really hasn't been carrying their weight nationally. It's been OU that has been leading the pack, and we'll dig more into that in the next segment. But let's just talk about fits first, or let's talk about who got drafted and where they went. Creed Humphrey led the way for the Oklahoma Sooners, getting selected in the second round with the 63rd overall pick to the Kansas City Chiefs, reunites with former offensive line mate Orlando Brown, and will now be snapping the ball to former MVP Patrick Mahomes, who we are all very familiar with from his days at Texas Tech. Patrick Mahomes has been to the Super Bowl in back-to-back seasons. He won 2 years ago, lost this most recent year to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And a big part of that reason was because the offensive line couldn't hold up to the pressure that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were presenting to Patrick Mahomes. And so with several offensive linemen out in that Super Bowl matchup, so Kansas City has done what they had to do to protect their heavily invested quarterback, Pat Mahomes. And first they traded several first round draft picks for Orlando Brown to shore up the tackle spot, and then adding Creed Humphrey helps them in the middle. I mean, we know Creed, he's going to be an excellent center in the NFL. It's kind of a shock that he fell that far, because arguably he's the best offensive line or interior offensive lineman in the draft in 2021. But he's going to get to play in one of the best offenses in the NFL, you know, going from the best offense in college to arguably the best offense in the NFL, being led by Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy. I think it's really, really good fit. You know, Creed does a lot of things really, really well. He's a very smart player. I think he's going to be able to transition into the NFL pretty seamlessly. I mean, every rookie is going to have some growing pains, but I think that's a really good spot for him to land. And then let's talk about Ronnie Perkins. Another surprise for me. I really thought that he was going to be a top 50 pick. It's hard to find edge rushers in the NFL that provide as much production that he had in college, or as much tenacity and athleticism. And I know he didn't test great during the pro day at OU. And obviously he's got the suspension hanging over his head from 2019, but yeah, it just still boggles my mind that teams were willing to pass on this guy for as long as they did. He ends up landing with the New England Patriots, going 96th overall. And man, I mean, we'll talk about it a little bit deeper, but that's a great landing spot for him. I feel like, sure, you would have liked to see him get drafted earlier, but going to play for Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, that's going to be a lot of fun for him. Another Sooner going to be joining Coach Billy B, up in New England. And that's Ramondre Stevenson, who goes 120th overall in the fourth round, the 15th pick of the fourth round. To me, another great fit. I'll dig into it more in the next segment, but I really like Ramondre Stevenson's landing spot. It was really hard to tell where Ramondre was going to go in this draft, because you look at the tape and you look at his ability, and arguably he's a top 100 pick, first three rounds guy, someone that you can kind of hand the keys to your running back room to and make him your lead ball carrier. But limited production in college, didn't have the production you'd like to see out of, unlike a guy like Najee Harris out of Alabama or Travis Etienne out of Clemson. But you put on the film and he's nimble, he's powerful, he's quick, got some breakaway speed to him. I think that's going to be a really underrated pick for the Patriots. And I think he's going to make a big impact in his rookie year. And then, you know, the next guy off the board was Trey Brown, cornerback, goes to Seattle in the fourth round, 137th overall. And that surprises me a little bit. I wasn't sure that these guys were going to be, that him or Trey Norwood were going to be drafted. But, you know, kudos to those guys. You know, they put up enough production. They put up enough tape in 2020 to raise their draft stock. And, you know, we talked about it back when they first declared for the NFL draft that we were really surprised. We thought that another year in college might do them better and better prepare them for the NFL and better up their draft stock for when they got drafted. And I mean, they knew where they were going. And I think they, you know, at least Trey Brown in particular, he got maybe some good advice and was pretty solid about where he was going to land. And so he goes to play for the Seattle Seahawks and Pete Carroll. And it'll be interesting to see kind of what role he fills for them. And then you got Trey Norwood, went in the seventh round, 18th pick of the seventh round at 245th overall. And again, surprising that he got drafted. I think if he was going to get drafted, that's about the range where I would have had him. Not because he's not a solid player and not that he's not a draftable player. It's just that they didn't show enough in college to think that they're going to be showing up on Sundays, if that makes sense to you. And I don't want to poo-poo these guys too much, but I mean, this is the same OU defense that was giving up tons of points to Iowa State and Kansas State last fall. So, I mean, that's kind of where we're coming from with this. And, you know, that defense got better over the year, and a lot of it is due to Ronnie Perkins' return. And you see that his production got him drafted a little bit higher. But, you know, congratulations to these guys. And then Austin Ealy was an undrafted free agent signing by the Baltimore Ravens. An opportunity for him to maybe push for a starting spot. I highly doubt it, but you never know what's going to happen in these rookie mini camps, these OTAs, training camps, where, you know, an injury happens and a guy is thrust into first team reps and maybe he surprises everybody. Who knows? You know, but Orlando Brown moving on from the Baltimore Ravens to the Kansas City Chiefs opens up an opportunity for an offensive tackle to take a spot. And Adrian Ealy is going to get a chance to step in there and potentially, you know, at least win a swing tackle job, maybe be a backup at both right tackle and left tackle. And it'll be interesting to see. I think, you know, five drafted this year, it's pretty solid considering who declared and who was going into the NFL draft. I won't say it's solid. I think it's really good, you know, because you really only had three stars in Creed, Ronnie, and Ramondre. And for all three of those guys to be, you know, drafted in the top 120, that's pretty solid. Like I said, I thought Creed and Ronnie would have gone a little bit higher, but it's just been a weird year for the NFL draft. I think a lot of teams kind of took some chances early on guys, and they knew that those solid players would be around a little bit longer. But again, let's, you know, just to recap, we got Creed Humphrey going to the Chiefs, Ronnie Perkins going to the Patriots, Ramondre Stevenson going to the Patriots. I hate that because I hate rooting for the Patriots, but I want to see those guys do well. So good luck to them. You got Trey Brown going to the Seahawks and Trey Norwood going to the Steelers. Austin Ealy as an undrafted free agent going to the Baltimore Ravens. We'll talk a little bit about fits, which one I like best, who's the player I think is going to have the biggest impact in year one. And we'll do that next year on the Locked On Sooners podcast. But before we do that, let me talk to you a little bit about Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing. The NBA and the NHL are gearing up for the playoffs, and Bet Online has all the action. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head on over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign up for bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game and teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. So head on over to the website and use our promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And now here in the second segment, let's talk a little bit about the fits and which players I think have the best opportunity to make an impact in their rookie season. And the first one, the first choice, obviously, I think the guy that's going to make the biggest impact in his rookie year, and that's Creed Humphrey. Great chance for him to slot into a starting role. And that offense and that team is going to be in the playoffs in 2021. And they're going to be one of the favorites to make a Super Bowl run. And I think Creed Humphrey's ability to both pass protect and play well in the run game, his intelligence, his understanding of defense and where to line his guys up is going to give him a really good start to his NFL career, because, you know, he's worked with several quarterbacks. He's worked in several different styles of offense, if that makes sense. You know, the offense that they ran under Jalen Hurts was different than the offense they ran under Kyler Murray and Spencer Rattler. And so, you know, a lot of similar schemes and a lot of similar styles, but maybe some different focuses. You know, with Jalen Hurts, they were more of a run heavy team, both with Jalen Hurts carrying the football, but also with Kennedy Brooks carrying the football as well. I think, you know, with Creed Humphrey's ability to transition and from quarterback to quarterback, I think that's going to bode well for him building chemistry with Patrick Mahomes really quickly and getting a leg up in whatever competition he's facing for the center position. And then kind of my next favorite guy, I think is going to make the biggest impact, and that's Ramondre. I think we've seen Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots use these big, powerful, hulking backs for several years now. I think the one that comes to mind right off the top is that, and that's LeGarrette Blount. In several of their Super Bowl runs, LeGarrette Blount was huge for them, grinding out yards, not just on the goal line, but, you know, late in games, second half of games. And in those playoff runs, LeGarrette Blount was fantastic. And I think I can envision Bill Belichick seeing a role for Ramondre Stevenson similar to what he had for LeGarrette Blount. I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, because there are several solid running backs. You got Sony Michel up there playing for New England, Damian Harris as well. And I think that's going to be interesting to see how he fits into that running back rotation. But as far as the kind of the big bruising back, he's going to be the guy in that short yardage opportunity, the short yardage opportunities. He's going to be the guy that gets the ball. I think he's going to start off in that kind of a role, but I think by midseason, he'll earn more snaps. He'll earn more opportunities early in on early downs and early in games, and not just along the goal line or third and one, fourth and one, things like that, because we know that he can do more. We know that he's got the agility. He's got the quickness. He's got the vision to be able to be a lead back in the NFL, similar to, you know, like a Derrick Henry. I'm not going to say he's Derrick Henry, because Derrick Henry's had some stellar campaigns, but he's got similar traits to Derrick Henry, you know, big physical back, good vision, good quickness, good agility. And so it'll be really fun to see what he does. And then, man, I think if I could have chosen a landing spot for Ronnie Perkins, this might have been the one. I mean, I really liked Baltimore as a potential landing spot for him, because, you know, they like to run a lot of 3-4 alignments when they're running base, and they like their edge rushers to be stand-up guys. And Ronnie Perkins is really good at rushing off the edge from a stand-up. I mean, he can do it with his hand in the ground as well. But I think what makes him a really interesting fit for the New England Patriots is because he's a versatile rusher. He can rush in several different aspects. And I think Bill Belichick's going to love his tenacity. I think that's probably one of the most underrated picks in the draft. And I think this has the one to be kind of pound for pound or pick for pick the most impactful on the defensive side of the football. I mean, yes, your guys in the first round are going to be impactful. You expect them to be impactful. But I think Ramondre as the 32nd pick in the third round, or sorry, Ronnie Perkins as the 32nd pick in the third round, I think he's got a great chance to far exceed his draft status, if that makes sense. I think he's got the ability to be a double-digit sack guy in the NFL. And those are the guys that are typically getting drafted in the first round. So the ones you project to be that double-digit sack guy, because he's shown enough in the college ranks to be a splash player, an explosive player. And I really think that's what he's going to be when he gets to New England as well. I think obviously he'll have to earn opportunities and he'll have to earn trust from the defensive coaching staff, but I don't see any reason why he won't earn those opportunities. And then for these other guys, you know, Trey Brown, Trey Norwood, it's going to be really interesting to see kind of where they slot in. You know, they're first going to have to make the roster. I think it's going to be just an uphill battle making the 53. Trey Brown is going to have a better shot, you know, being a fourth round pick than Trey Norwood might. Trey Norwood's probably destined for a practice squad, but hey man, there's a good living to be made playing on the practice squad. And with the new NFL rules that allow them to call up players a couple times a season and then move them back to the practice squad without them having to go through waivers, Trey Norwood's going to may have an opportunity to play for the Steelers. What his impact's going to be like is hard to say, but still a pretty good fit, because he's a versatile defensive back. And the Steelers know how to use versatile defenders. Look at Minkah Fitzpatrick. I mean, he's a safety, but he's somebody that they use all over the field. And if they can find a way to utilize Trey Norwood's kind of versatility, I think it's going to bode well for him and give him an opportunity to play, maybe not in his rookie season, but by year two. I mean, you know, but yeah, I think these are going to be, it's going to be really interesting to watch. Again, it'll be fascinating to see how much playing time these guys get. I think, again, the guy that is obvious, probably going to start week one, that's going to be Creed Humphrey. These other guys, Ronnie, Ramondre, they're going to have to earn their snaps. And, you know, they're going to have a lot of playing time, a lot of training camp to do that. It's just a matter of, can they? And I think they can. And, you know, it may not be by, you know, week one that they're playing full-time roles, but I would foresee by mid-season, late in the season, that those guys earn enough snaps to be rotational players for their teams. And it's going to be kind of fun that, you know, Ronnie Perkins and Ramondre Stevenson are playing in New England together. You know, Creed's getting to play with Orlando Brown. It gives us a little more reason to watch the Chiefs a little bit. And I know some of you are Chiefs fans, so you're probably ecstatic about this. You know, I know that for me as a Dallas Cowboys fan, I was like thrilled, like absolutely jumping out of my jeans that CeeDee Lamb got selected by the Dallas Cowboys at the 17th overall pick. There was nothing. I was nervous before the pick was made. I was ecstatic after the pick was made. And I know if you're a Patriots fan and a Sooners fan, you're just pumped that Ronnie Perkins and Ramondre Stevenson are joining your squad. If you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, you're just, you know, thrilled beyond belief that Creed Humphrey is going to be blocking for Patrick Mahomes. And so, yeah, congratulations to you all. If those are your teams, I hope you enjoy it. I certainly enjoyed watching CeeDee Lamb play for my team this last year. And it's going to be fun to watch these guys and watch how their NFL career progresses. And coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about what, you know, the Big 12 is doing and how the NFL draft is kind of impacting the Big 12, because Oklahoma's carrying their weight as far as draft picks go. But I don't know if any of the other teams are. And we'll talk about that next here on Locked On Sooners. But before we do that, let me talk to you about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. It's easy to eat and is 100% covered in chocolate. 100% covered in chocolate. We've been telling you about it for a while now. They've got 18 great flavors. Plus, they're adding new flavors all the time. They re-released the coconut brownie chunk. Now, if you've not had that, I highly recommend you go to BuiltBar.com. You try and find that coconut brownie chunk because it's fantastic. My other favorite flavors are the peanut butter brownie. The German chocolate is amazing. I'm not even a German chocolate cake fan, but that Built Bar German chocolate is phenomenal. I'm not lying to you. These are some of the best protein bars I've ever had. And I've had a lot of them. I've had, you know, the more popular brands out there, but nothing tastes as good as this. It does not even taste like a protein bar. It does taste like a candy bar. You got some, and most bars, they have about 17, 18 grams of protein and anywhere from 130 to 180 calories. And you're only looking at like 4 or 5 grams of sugar. Again, fantastic protein bars. You will not be disappointed. If you go to builtbar.com, make sure to use that promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your first order at builtbar.com. That's 15% off your next order at builtbar.com by using the promo code LOCKED15. I also want to talk to you about our friends over at Country Leisure. Country Leisure is a pool and hot tub manufacturing company servicing Oklahoma. They've been in the business for 35 years, experts in the industry at above ground pools and hot tubs. Now you might be asking yourself, why an above ground pool? Well, it's the least expensive way into pool ownership, and it's a much quicker installation process. They can get you set up in a day in most cases. The most important differences here are cost, installation time, and customization. They can get you set up. Are you looking to create your backyard oasis as summer approaches? Well, the people at Country Leisure can get you started. Are you ready to connect with your family and friends? Get everybody outside of the house, off of the tablets, off of the iPhones? Well, maybe now's the time to get into pool ownership. Are you looking for a way to relax and enhance your well-being? Well, maybe now's the time for you to consider a hot tub. Heat, warm water, it improves your general physical state. It acts as a stress reducer. It can even improve your sleep. I know for me at times I have a difficulty getting to bed on time or getting to bed at a normal hour or, you know, waking up and then not being able to go back to sleep. And a lot of times the thing that helps best with that is, you know, getting into warm water, just relaxing the muscles, relaxing the body, and then being able to go back to sleep. So now might be the time for you to get into hot tub ownership. Own your wellness through hydrotherapy and reignite your passion for life. Again, they can get to you anywhere in Oklahoma. They're located in Moore, but they can get to you in Oklahoma. Again, been in the industry for 35 years. They're the best in the industry, most experienced, most knowledgeable, and they can get you set up. So make sure you go to countryleisuremfg.com to see all the things that they have to offer. You can also call or text at 405-799-7745. Located off of I-35 in Moore, Oklahoma, call or text at 405-799-7745. That's Country Leisure, just add water. All right, now I want to go on a bit of a mini rant here, and I apologize for that ahead of time. It's just, it is what it is. But first of all, let's talk about Ronnie Perkins. So in six games in 2020, he had 5.5 sacks and 10.5 tackles for loss. So you project that over a 12-game season, and that's 11 sacks, 21 tackles for loss. Like, that's elite production, right? Like, there's no reason that Ronnie Perkins should have fallen to the 32nd pick of the third round. There's just not. He was one of the best 50 players in the NFL or in the NFL draft. And teams made mistakes passing on this guy. Yes, you want to look at his suspension, but let's look at what the NFL has done over the last several years to eliminate the sting of marijuana use. Now, I'm not here to advocate for marijuana use or say that you shouldn't use marijuana, whatever. It is what it is. But in the NFL, they've drastically reduced the testing window for marijuana. And they've basically taken all the teeth out of marijuana disciplinary action. So before, there was an escalating kind of game suspension to where, you know, eventually you'd be suspended indefinitely, out of the league, blah, blah, blah. If you watch like Randy Gregory's or Josh Gordon's, Martavis Bryant's situations over the last few years, then those are kind of or Justin Blackman's even another one. Those are kind of the situations you want to look at. But the NFL they've taken the teeth out of it. No longer can you get suspended for a marijuana suspension or a positive marijuana test. So it boggles my mind that, you know, here's a guy with as much production as he's had in his college career, and most recently in 2020. And you saw the evidence of what it looked like when he got back versus what the defense looked like before he came back from his suspension. And it was night and day. Now, obviously, they played lesser competition later in the season, but still, they were just downright dominant. I mean, they still played some pretty solid offenses, and they were dominant. A lot of that was because of Ronnie Perkins. And so, again, it just baffles my mind. I think, you know, you can say what you want about, you know, 20-something-year-old kids and maturity issues or whatever. Yeah, he made a mistake before the bowl game. Yes, it hurt the Sooners. Yes, it, you know, he got suspended. But at what point, as an NFL team, and I'll even throw the Dallas Cowboys into this, I mean, they made a mistake passing on this guy. I mean, they took a couple different defensive linemen in front of him, or they took one defensive lineman in front of him. And this isn't a shot at Osa Odighiuza from UCLA, but Ronnie Perkins is a better player. It's just true. And they took a defensive end a little bit later and a Chauncey Golston out of Iowa. But Ronnie Perkins is a better player than he is too. And obviously he went in front of him, but there were several edge rushers that went in front of Ronnie Perkins that shouldn't have. And it just boggles my mind. You know, these guys will take chances on players with injuries. They'll take chances on players with other kind of histories. But you're concerned about Ronnie Perkins because he got suspended for marijuana while the league has drastically reduced the infractions or the disciplinary action that's taken against marijuana suspensions. It doesn't make sense. And so, you know, we're really excited for Ronnie Perkins because he's going to go to a really great situation and play for arguably the best coach in the history of the NFL. But it's a situation that just doesn't make sense. The other thing that doesn't make sense to me is how the Big 12 ends up being so far behind the rest of the country as far as draft picks are concerned. So Brian Fisher, at Brian D. Fisher, he's a college football and NFL columnist for Athlon Sports, put out a list of draft picks from the past 3 years. And, you know, we're not going to spend a lot of time going through this list, but what I wanted to take note of is that Oklahoma was the only representative from the Big 12 on this list. And this was, you know, draft picks or teams with at least 11 draft picks in the last 3 years, 17 teams on this list. And again, Oklahoma was the only Big 12 team that showed up. You had seven SEC teams. You had four Pac-12 teams and only one Big 12 team. Just one ACC team, Clemson, obviously. And then you have Notre Dame as an independent. But you had four Pac-12 teams. Look at the schools that ended up on this list. You had USC that had 11 draft picks in the last 3 years. Stanford. I can't think of a player from Stanford that got drafted in the last 3 years. Paulson Adebo this year. But otherwise, my mind is just goes blank. Oregon, consistently puts out draft picks. That's pretty, they're a pretty consistent team. They put out some pretty good, defensive linemen, offensive linemen. You know, they got Justin Herbert from last year, Penei Sewell from this year. And then you got Washington up there on the list too, which deservingly so. They're one of the best defensive back schools in the country. So yeah, I mean, it makes sense for them to be up on this list as well. But four Pac-12 schools and only one Big 12 school. That should say a lot about our conference, right? That the NFL doesn't see the talent level in the Big 12 as equal to that's in the Pac-12 or the Big 10 that had three schools. And we know everybody thinks very highly of the SEC. That just is what it is. We're not going to change that fact. But the rest of the Big 12 needs to pull its weight. And I'm talking to you, Texas. I'm talking to you, Kansas State, West Virginia. There's no reason that the Big 12 should be represented by just one team with 11 or more draft picks over the last 3 years. Now, Oklahoma, they're the king of the country in the Big 12. But yeah, I mean, and we're not like a rah-rah, go Big 12 conference here, but a lot of the reason that Oklahoma isn't looked so highly or isn't as highly thought of as they should be is because of the rest of the conference. I mean, they're carrying a weak conference year in and year out because you have schools like Texas that just don't carry their weight. And we might see, Steve Sarkisian might turn this around. But I mean, everybody thought that about Tom Herman. Everybody thought that about Charlie Strong. I mean, the last time that they were really relevant on the national stage was Mack Brown more than a decade ago. And so the Big 12 just isn't what it used to be. And that hurts OU. And so at what point does OU begin to wonder, are we being brought down by the Big 12? I mean, yes, winning the Big 12 keeps them in the national conversation and keeps them in the college football playoff hunt year in and year out. And maybe they don't need to do anything differently. Maybe they're just content. They're fine, being where they're at. But it's not winning them any national championships. And so, yeah, I mean, that's a discussion. We can have this discussion all day. We can debate this all day because unless, the Big 12 starts winning a national championship or unless OU starts winning national championships, it's not going to really change the national perception of them because the thought is that they can't win in the college football playoff. And until they actually do it, that's going to be what people think of them. And it's going to be what people think of the Big 12 and the talent level that's in the Big 12. And, we'll continue to talk about that more because we got lots to say about the Big 12, lots to say about the NFL draft, but we'll come back this next week and we'll talk more about the Oklahoma Sooners. Had a big baseball and softball weekend this past weekend. We'll catch you up on some of the recruiting things that are going on. But that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Sooners. Thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcasts. We're available on Odyssey, Google, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. If you got a question, send us an email at lockedonsooners@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at @LockedOnSooners and on Facebook, Locked On Sooners Podcast. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll catch you tomorrow. Boomer Sooner.